USARadio.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
We welcome you to the program. Here we are once again, standing by, ready, willing, able, etc., to answer all of your money questions on the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here with me, Certified Financial Planner, that's Plum, from Lucia Capital Group, standing by to take your phone calls and your emails. Yes, once again, we got a lot of things happening this hour, but we're going to start off with a discussion on something that you may have heard about on radio ads especially. I'm hearing about them. Real Estate Investment Trusts. They're known as REITs, R-E-I-T, REITs. We also know them as alternative investments, which we've mentioned before are those that are sort of outside of the stocks, bonds, and cash group. Not everyone should consider alternative investments, of which REITs do play kind of a partial role, but those who consider them should know what they're getting into. And that's why we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you the lowdown on REITs. We're going to tell you what they are, how they work. We'll let you and your advisor decide if they're right for you, if indeed your advisor knows anything at all about them. They should. They don't always. Our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We do have some lines open, a couple at least, so give us a call right here. Emails, you can head over to wealthed.com, our website. If you're not there now, you click on the Find Your Answer link. You'll see it there near the top of the page. We'll get your emails read and answered here on the program. This hour of the program, of course, heard and seen all across this great land of ours, courtesy of the folks at Lucia Capital Group. You've heard us talk about them. You can call them directly off the air if you have any money questions, 800-644-1150. You should schedule an appointment with any of the Brain Trust advisors. They can answer all these questions, too, to see where you and your retirement plan stand. Or just to ask, you know, whatever question you have. Do not try to do this complicated stuff on your own. You do need the advice, the guidance, the experience of the Brain Trust. Again, off the air, the number 800-644-1150. You can reach us here in the studio at 877-PLANNER. You know that number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. All right, now, Professor Plum, talking REITs for a moment.
And I don't like to correct you very often, but I'm going to correct something you said in the opening number, well, or opening area, that we'll get into, I guess.
Well, I just needed to say something. Was it going to be about real estate investment trusts?
Oh, yes.
I'm supposed to...
Oh, you've got to give the disclaimer first.
Well, whatever this is, you know. The REIT discussion is part of our alternative investments discussion, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's what it is. What did I do wrong? Now, don't tell me yet.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. All right. Many people should consider when they're putting their retirement plans together, all right? Many people might consider alternative investments, all right? But... it's not always about stocks, bonds, and cash. Before we get into it, please, you got to take careful note of the following, all right? Do you have a little bouncing ball there? We can just do... You
follow
know,
along.
See. Yeah. Investments in non-traded real estate investment trusts, REITs, are subject to significant risks. These risks include, but are not limited to, limited operating histories, reliance on the advisors, conflicts of interest, payment of substantial fees to the advisors and their affiliates, and illiquidity. If you're able to redeem shares, they will generally be redeemed for less than the original amount invested. Investing in these products may not be suitable for all investors. This material should not be considered a solicitation of an offer to sell, buy any specific security or offering. Got it? Investors should consult a financial professional, yes they should, to determine whether risks associated with an investment in the shares are compatible with their investment objectives. That wasn't too bad. Oh, is there more? I was told there's more. Oh, there is. Sorry. So, no? No, that's it? Okay, all right.
Enough discussion on that part.
Okay, I will say that...
So after all that, who would even want to listen to what we're going to talk about next?
Well, it is important stuff. I don't want people... You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up, and I'll let you say what you were going to say, was that, you know, when I listen to these, they're being advertised on radio programs across, at least, you know, where in my area and up and down near where I live, and they're being, you know, by advertising to the mass, what they're saying is everybody with, you know, $70,000 or whatever the number is of net worth or $70,000 of income should have these. I don't know that anybody with those minimum requirements are being turned away. I could be wrong. But before we get into that, you said...
Also, in the advertisements that we hear, they talk about, would you rather have your money in a bank earning nothing?
Or would you rather...
Well, those are not apples-to-apples comparisons of investments. They are very, very different investments. You have cash for one reason, and you have different types of investments, including potentially REITs and other things of alternative world, as a different type of investment for completely different reasons. And they shouldn't be saying, well, you've got money in cash, you should use this.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that bothered me about it. The phrase was, would you rather have, paraphrasing, would you rather have money in the bank earning nothing, or would you rather have your money that
own the bank?
The building that the bank
pays you rent.
Pays you rent, exactly.
So, not that one is better than the other or worse than the other. They're very different, and they have specific needs. Now, what I was going to talk about was, we talked about that REITs are alternative investments. Many REITs are alternative investments, but right now there's also another category of REITs which, you know, are still traditional investments. They are traded REITs. There's two large categories of real estate investment trusts. Those that are not traded on an active exchange, those are alternative investments, primarily because of the illiquidity and the fact that they're a little bit more difficult to find information about. And there's the traded REITs. But the traded REITs, which are traded, you know, like a mutual fund in many cases, sometimes an ETF, but available to trade on a daily basis at least, those have different characteristics than the underlying real estate in itself. So you have to look at what you're trying to accomplish with it. And, you know, a lot of times we get questions, well, should I buy this type of REIT or that type of REIT? Well, let's look at why we're looking to buy it in the first place, because they're very different in the way they fit into a portfolio.
Now, we need to explain what a real estate investment trust is, because people have heard us talk about it. All they know is that it spells REIT and it sounds like REIT.
Well, a real estate investment trust is a large, well, going to be large, U.S. C corporation, full corporation. It's a stock. It's a corporate entity. Just like any other large public corporate entity, it has a direct board of directors and it has shares of stock. The difference between, you know, IBM or, you know, Johnson & Johnson or something like that, one of the differences is when you are currently buying IBM, you're not buying the shares from IBM. When you're buying a non-traded REIT, especially one in the early ages, you are buying the REIT shares directly from the REIT company, and you're buying basically into a blind pool of real estate. They're accumulating money by selling shares, and they're taking that money and buying real estate. Now, sometimes they already have real estate purchased inside of it. Sometimes it was seeded by the opening company with, you know, $20 million, $50 million, $100 million, and they're starting to buy real estate. But most of the real estate in non-traded REITs, in many cases, is being purchased after you buy the shares. And so your due diligence is, who are the people that are going to be making the decision on what they're buying? What are the parameters on what they can buy? What kind of debt can they or can they not use? I mean, as far as how much they can use. And so you've got to have a pretty good idea of what's going on. There are people that, you know, you may know that seem to do better with real estate than others. And so you just want to find out who is managing the real estate portfolio, because you're adding your money to the pool and you're hoping to receive the benefits of that pool of income, pool of assets that are creating income. Now, the income that is being paid out, they talk about a dividend. Well, it technically really shouldn't be called a dividend. It should be called a distribution. Why? Because the distribution, a dividend is supposed to be a distribution of pure profit. Well, a distribution from a real estate investment trust, especially in the beginning, may not be coming 100% from the rents that are being generated. Especially if it's a newer REIT, you've got, you know, half a billion dollars in there, but only, you know, half of that money is deployed into real estate. The other money came in the last couple months and they're looking to close escrow on some other buildings. Half the pool of money isn't even earning very much yet. And so they're paying a dividend, but they're kind of front-loading the dividend or the distribution a little bit so that people get into the fund. You want to understand, this is one of those due diligence things, how much of the distribution is coming from funds from operation. They call it FFO. How much of it is coming from the actual underlying real estate? How much of it, if it's not 100% coming from that, at what point in the future does it? Are they expecting it to be coming from operations only? And so we're looking at what is the viability of the portfolio and how it's going to work. The distributions are, right now, in many cases, in that 6-7 and sometimes higher percent ratio. Now, we're talking about the non-traded real estate investment trust at the moment. Traded real estate investment trusts, typically in a normalized, whatever that is, environment, they have a lower dividend than what a non-traded REIT would.
You said dividend.
I did on the traded one.
Right. I want to make sure. I want to make it clear that on the traded side, that really kind of is what it is, because
they can still distribute whatever they want.
Right.
So the distribution is generally lower on the non-trade or on the traded side of the house than on the non-traded side. But the difference between the two types of entities, the traded real estate investment trust versus the non-traded real estate investment trust. The non-traded real estate investment trust tends to value and be valued as the underlying real estate. It tends to follow the real estate trends as far as valuations and things rather than the stock market trends. And that's why it's an alternative. It doesn't act the same way the stock market does. Traded real estate investment trusts act very much like the stock market. They go up and down very much with the perception that we have about economic conditions right now. And so they act very differently.
So it's a way that smaller investors could own some large real estate. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. 877-PLANNER, you got questions, we've got answers when we return.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take the spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Cold weather slows your battery down. But if it's hot enough to cook breakfast on your hood, your battery could be toast. So pick up a Napa Legend battery today, and you'll get a $15 rebate Visa card by mail. That's 15 bucks back and a new battery. In case your old one gets fried, that's Napa know-how.
and participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Some exclusions apply. Offer expires 7/31/16.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
To all you parents sending your kids off to college, do us a favor. Invest in some good bedding. The company store has things like mattress toppers that make any bed feel like a spa. And remember, this is about protecting your investment in your flesh and blood. College is expensive, and we need sleep to learn, and sleep is hard to come by here. But hey, it's your call.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting a good night's sleep for over 100 years. Visit TheCompanyStore.com to see our full line of college bedding and more. Enter the code CAMP and get 15% off your order plus free shipping.
Market strategy investing.
Let me tell you how it will be.
This is how it will be. You give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We'll get to some of your emails coming up here in just a little bit. If you want to email us, you can go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Yeah, you know Facebook. You hit like. You go to WealthEd at Facebook. You can search WealthEd, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, you follow us on Twitter, and you like us on Facebook. That's the way you do it. You search for WealthEd, and you can get social with us one way or another because, hey, we're kind of sociable people, right? Sure you want to do that. All right, there you go. Again, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Talking about real estate investment trust for just a little bit here, Professor Plum. It's a way for people to own large pieces.
Well, you made a nice comment at the end of the last segment where they were designed as a way for the not super wealthy to be able to participate in an area that typically has very high barriers to entry, high costs to be got, to begin, and also to have a diversified portfolio of real estate rather than one property. I mean, usually, if you only have $20,000, $30,000 to allocate to this type of an area, maybe you're getting one small condo somewhere, and that isn't really diversification. But by adding it to a pool, you have the ability to get into larger, which typically tend to be a little bit more stable income categories rather than a single condo rental.
Which is a lot more risky. It carries a lot more risk to it.
Typically, yes. And so by getting into these different types of products, you know, you become one of many in the pool to be able to share whatever's happening at that particular company level. But you own shares of a company that's job is to go out and buy and manage real estate.
Okay, now, so I'm sitting around and I hear this advertisement that says paying a healthy 7.5%, and that's really what they tout. And I would sit there and I'd say, well, gee, who wouldn't want that? I mean, what am I sitting here, you know?
Well, it is one of those areas that you have to understand everything about it.
Right, so the question follows then, who should own these things? Because, I mean, we know it's not for everybody.
It is not for everybody. First off, you have to have a long-term time horizon for the money that you are putting into these types of investments. They are not short-term investments. Real estate is, just like the stock market typically, is not a short-term investment, although some people think that because they can sell it any given moment of any given day, they can get out of it, so therefore it's a short-term gamble. Real estate is more difficult to get out of, and so by its very nature, you want to have a long-term time perspective. I think you need a long-term time perspective for the stock market too, but one of the big differences is if I really have to get out of the investment in a stock market, I can sell it even if it's at a loss. With real estate, in many cases, it's tough to get out of it at all, ever. I mean, not ever, but just because you want to get out of it. So you have to be able to look at it and say, I can set this money aside and I can afford the illiquidity of the potential investment. And by affording the illiquidity, then I can afford to have that potentially higher cash flow that's being generated by it. If I can't afford the liquidity, even though the cash flow looks pretty attractive, I can't get into that cash flow because it just isn't acceptable. It is not something for 100% of the portfolio. It's not even something for 50% of the portfolio. You would normally keep these types of alternative investments down cumulatively to 20-25% at the most of your overall portfolio. So that means if they got a $20,000, $30,000 minimum to get in, and Yes, the minimums on some of these investments are lower, but at this point, I wouldn't want to get into one that for less than $20,000. I just think that it's too small to make it work real well for yourself. So, it means you got to have $100,000 or better minimum before you start playing with these types of investments. You should be a little bit more sophisticated investor, rather than if all you do, and you don't even understand this, are index funds and, you know, single little things like that. Either educate yourself and get more comfortable. But if you're just looking at the fees, if you're just looking at, you know, the simplicity of everything, then an alternative investment isn't for you.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned fees too. People look at these and they say, well, these are very...
They're fee intensive at the beginning,
they
yes.
They are, yeah. How does that work?
Well, and that's changed recently in the way that they're going to be shown. Typically inside of a non-traded REIT, especially when they're in their funding cycle, when they're accumulating money, there's about 10 to 12% in fees baked into the share price. So the share price may be X, but that's not what's going to go into the ground. They're raising money, pooling the money, and then buying the real estate. Not 100 cents of everything you give them is going to end up in the ground. And so somewhere between 89%, 88%, 90%, you know, and this is all part of the due diligence you want to do, is built into the share price. And so up until recently, though, if I bought it for X, it showed up on my statement as being X value. Now, starting in April of this year, if I buy it at X, but there was fees baked into that of 12%, it's going to show up on my first statement as the what they call the net asset value.
Right,
price.
So instead of, say, $10, whatever you want to call NAV.
It would have been $880, $890, yeah. You know, whatever the number is. And so you're going to see a difference in that. That's another reason why these types of investments tend to be on the illiquid side, because the underlying company wants to be able to give you back a dollar for every dollar you put in. Their goal is to give you back at least a dollar for every dollar you put in, plus even after receiving the distribution that you've been receiving. And it takes time for the real estate to grow a little bit, to appreciate, to be able to do that and give that money back.
So you know, I've looked at historical prices and things like that. It seems to me that real estate, and maybe real estate investment trust, has actually done very, very well. If you look at, you know, 5,
over
10,
time,
15,
yes.
20, 25, 30, even up to 40-year periods of time. The longer the better. It has tended to even outperform, in some cases, the S&P.
Now, and there are short periods of time where they've done very well, and also short periods of time where they have not done very well. And even some 5-year periods of time where real estate over 5-year periods of time hasn't done well over some 5-year
periods. No, when it goes down, it goes down. I mean, it
doesn't just bounce right back up like we see the stock market do from time to time. So that's why you have to have that long-term time perspective. But the cash flow from these types of investments should be relatively stable, as long as they're not overly leveraged, as long as they're not, you know, because if I've got a 10-year lease, you know, if I've got 100 buildings, they're all on leases, and they're, you know, they can't just decide not to pay me if the value of the property went down, just like I can't charge them more until the end of the lease if the property value went up.
So what you're saying is that they're collecting rents independent of where the market is going, what?
In some degree, yes. I mean, now, when the lease renews, and this is what we saw happen in 2010, 11, 12, real estate projects that had been purchased prior to the downturn, you know, they expected their lease renewals to go up over time.
Yeah, but guess
because,
what?
Because costs go up, right? But, you know, through the downturn of the financial crisis, a lot of companies, they were moving out, and not just moving out, they went out of business. And so there was a lot of big corporate space that was empty. And so re-leasing, when those leases came due, if they came due during the period of time where the market was down, they released at a lower number or the same number. But even if they released at the same square footage, you know, price, it's not the same number, because the landlord has to incentivize them to stay there. So they say, well, we'll give you 3 months rent. We'll give you 10 improvements.
Absolutely. You could have gotten a great deal. A lot of companies did, as a matter of fact.
But then as the market comes back, you'll see those leases renew again. So lease tenure is a big issue. What is my length of remaining leases? How often do they renew? These are all parts of the due diligence process.
Is this what the individual has to do, or should the financial advisor be giving you all that information?
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm just an ordinary investor, what I'm going to go out and I'm going to look at how long these leases are?
It's part of the marketing material, usually.
And that's what they tell you. They tell you this
up front
when they say...
That's something that's a very common question, something to look at.
877-PLANNER. Got to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about these, but we've got other things to talk about too. Why have money managers mostly ignored real estate investment trusts, and they're going to be their own sector in the market? That's coming up here. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're coming right back with more. Don't go away.
Lucia Capital Group advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, certified financial planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, chartered financial consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principle.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low-interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Control, this is QL1. Everything looks good on my end. Prepping for liftoff. Over. One more thing, QL1. What's that, Control? You've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
Well, it's completely online. It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Yeah, go ahead and pick one. Anyone.
That's tough. They all sound great.
I think you're finally getting it, Control.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee, ink, folders, notepads, ink, sticky notes, ink, trash pads, ink, binders, and ink?
Need some ink?
A little bit, yeah.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called Web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And Web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Bucket Strategy Investing, 877-PLANNER. Call now. Brain Trust standing by. Whatever questions you have, we're happy to answer them for you. It can be on any topic at all. Whatever's on your mind, comments, concerns, you get them to us here, 877-PLANNER. On real estate, Professor Plum. Now I'll talk about this in a moment, but coming up, it's going to be its own sector.
Right. The S&P is going to split it off.
Right. And so the 11th sector of the market is now going to include real estate. Whereas before, things like real estate investment trust, all these things were in the financial sector.
Right. But the only real estate investment trusts that are going to split off are traded ones.
Well, no, of course. But what I'm saying is that when you think you might have a diversified portfolio where you own the broad market, you might have a lot in the financial sector, but you don't have anything in real estate. And my question is, why is it that it seems to me that many money managers have pretty much ignored real estate investment trusts?
Well, the real estate investment trusts that are traded, entities act very much like other stocks. So they don't have a huge discorrelation to the other market. And they're more comfortable evaluating companies as a company rather than real estate as a company.
Yeah.
And so there are different metrics on what's going to happen. And unfortunately, I don't think there's that much information on the perception and what people do to traded real estate, what we investors that can buy and sell at any given moment can do, and it's hard to understand how we're going to react to different things when it's, so they just stay away from it because they don't understand it very well.
Yeah, to me it seems that they overlook it because it's a whole different, it's supposed to act differently, I guess, from the stock market. I don't know that it always does.
And that has a lot to do with the illiquidity of it, though. That has to do with real estate, where it's different parameters of getting in and out of it, and so it tends to have a different characteristic than the stock market, which is very easy to get in and out of. And so those two, that one dynamic, the illiquidity or the liquidity, whichever way you want to look at it, has a big game as far as what happens with the movement. You tend to see long wavelengths of real estate movement where you see jagged edges on the stock market. They go up and down very quickly, and they act differently. But if it's not traded, and a lot of that has to do with the illiquidity of it. And so when you then add the liquidity to it, it just starts acting like a stock. And in many cases, it has a fairly decent correlation to a small value company.
Well, anytime you have access to trading, you can go in and out and trade anytime you want. It is going to act much more like a stock.
I mean, real estate went down in value after the credit crisis, but it didn't go down as much as traded REITs did in 2008. 2008, 2009, traded REITs went down like 60, 70% or more over a very short period of time. The value of real estate itself didn't go down that much, but our appetite for real estate as an investor, as somebody who can sell something on any given moment, did go down that much.
Yeah, well, again,
of course, they bounced back too.
Well, yeah, it did, but the problem was people started thinking of real estate as something that's a short-term game. It's one that you can hold for 6 months.
Well, then think about the stock market as a short-term game, and that's not right either.
No, of course not. You got to keep that in mind. Okay, one last thing. This I mentioned they're going to be a new sector in the stock market coming up here, I think, August 1st.
The S&P is splitting it off, yes.
Yeah, they're going to split it off. What do you think? Is that going to have any impact on any of this stuff?
Well, there's some perceived impacts. We'll see if they actually happen. If they're going to start having their own index of this sector, that means there could be a bigger demand for this sector as an individual, which means there may, very unknown, maybe some buying pressure.
Yeah, there's a school of thought that says as soon as people see that they have absolutely no exposure to real estate, that they're going to start telling their money managers, I want to have something in this 11th sector. You have 11 sectors of the market. I own several of those. I'm missing one completely. Why do I not have that? you know, let's add that to our portfolio.
It may or may not, but it may add some buying pressure. Buying pressure usually pushes prices. Who knows if that's going to come true? We will see.
One last question. Somebody was asking this. How is it that they can pay a 7%, they said dividend, when other investments are paying 2, 3% over 4, 5, 6 year periods of time?
Because they're different investments. They're completely different. And we're looking at how much is a company paying in rent. When you look at the rents and when you buy property, if you're buying an individual property, you're looking at what is my cash flow? And you know what? If I put in $100,000, what is my cash flow coming out of it? I want to be compensated for the expenses that I'm going to be incurring, and I want to be compensated for the illiquidity of that particular property. And so I am going to require a much higher cash flow from that type of investment than I would from a bank account or something or bond that I can get out of in a couple of years, whatever the case. And I require a higher distribution now. The distribution rate, the cash flow, typically is a lot higher for real estate than it is for stocks. The dividend rate on the S&P 500 is right around 2% or so,
mm-hmm.
But real estate, especially the bigger properties, they're bought for one main purpose and a secondary purpose. Main purpose is cash flow, and I'm not going to buy a property, or I shouldn't be buying a property. Where if I'm putting in, and I'm using 100 just as an example, $100,000, where I'm only going to earn 2 or 3%, I'm not being compensated, so I won't buy that property. I'm going to look for properties that pay me 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't even want 5. 6 is the lowest I like. I want to go into something where the cash flow is greater. So that's when you're looking at. And a lot of these properties have underlying cash flows of 7-8%, and so the real estate investment trust can afford to pay out 6-7% because they're using 1-2% to cover their fees of management and everything, mm-hmm. and paying out the rest to you. In fact, that's one of the things they have to do, is they have to pay out at least 90% of the net profits to maintain what's known as a REIT status. Now, the advantage of a REIT over a regular corporation, I started this discussion talking about they're just regular corporations. There's a different tax treatment. There's a different taxability to the income that a REIT shows. If IBM shows a corporate profit after all expenses of $1 billion, they pay taxes on $1 billion. And then whatever's left, if they want, they can issue it as a dividend to you, and you get to pay taxes as a qualified dividend when you receive the money. A REIT, as long as it lives up to all the criteria that you have for being a REIT, it doesn't pay taxes at the corporate level. As long as it's passing through the profits to the shareholders, of which you are if you buy into it, then there's no tax at the corporate level. So there's less of a tax drag there, so it can potentially pass through more to the investors. Now, the fact that there's no taxation at the corporate level, it's a pass-through entity, means that when I receive the dividend, the distribution, it's not a qualified dividend to me. So I'll pay ordinary income on it when I receive it. That ordinary income then tells us where we may or may not want to buy these particular types of investments. I like buying these types of investments that create high ordinary income inside my traditional IRA, if I have that room. Because the ordinary income, income in a traditional IRA is going to be deferred, but when it comes out, it's ordinary income either way. So I'm getting an ordinary income asset inside an ordinary income account, I'm getting ordinary income. On the other side, but it's all about where it fits best for you.
So what you're saying is that just an ordinary stock or an ordinary company, there's a corporate tax, mm-hmm. when the profits are received, corporate tax, and then there's a further tax.
There can be a tax to the shareholder.
Yes.
And that's because the corporation paid tax or was supposed to, whatever, mm-hmm. That's a qualified dividend. A C corporation issues a qualified dividend.
Yeah.
And a qualified dividend gives us, the investor, a different tax treatment, a lower tax treatment. When the corporation is a partner, when the business entity is a partnership or something where it's a pass-through entity, where the corporation, the business entity, does not pay taxes,
it's taxed differently.
We get taxed on it as ordinary income.
Yeah, once we get it, because there hasn't. I guess the reason they tax
which
it
is
as,
fine. I mean,
well, that's all right, but you have to weigh the tax benefits of say a regular stock versus a company versus a pass-through company.
But they're very different animals, and they shouldn't be considered as an alternative to each other. They should be considered as separate entities that can hopefully, work together to create less volatility in the overall portfolio and have a nice income.
All right, so one last thing as we wrap this up. We only got a minute or a minute and a half or so. We've been talking about real estate investment trusts, Professor Plum. Let's just give us the overview once again. Who are they right for? Who are they not right for?
People that have a
long-term... This is who they're right for.
People that have a long-term ability for some of their money. People that have portfolios, in my opinion, of at least $100,000 or more. People who are looking for a form of income in part of their portfolio. And people who are a little bit more sophisticated and not prone to freaking out and selling at the drop of a hat. You can't just get out of many of these types of investments, and that tends to make people very anxious. So you need to have a little bit longer term perspective of it. Who it's not available for or shouldn't be for, somebody who can't afford the illiquidity of it, somebody who has to have immediate access up or down, good or bad, to their money. These types of investments are not appropriate for that. Somebody who has a small portfolio, somebody who doesn't understand investing very well. These are not for the brand new investor. But it is something to look at for, somebody who's been investing for a while, who's looking for an alternative to the movements of the stock market. The real estate market will go up and down. They just tend to do it at different times and over different wavelengths. And so it can add to the overall portfolio. That's what we're always trying to do.
That's right. Alternative type investments. If you have any questions on this stuff, we can take them here on the air. We got other things to talk about. We're going to get some emails as well. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, if you want to get on board, ask your money question, do so right now. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. We're here from Lucia Capital Group talking to you about your money. We'll do it again when Bucket Strategy Investing continues.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. A December 2015 Gallup poll found that nearly three-quarters of those surveyed expected this year to start with stock market volatility. Their concerns were valid. According to CNN and other sources, this January was the worst month in the stock market since 2009. But even though we may have anticipated stock market declines, are we prepared for them? Are we prepared if we should see another market meltdown like 2008? Lucia Capital Group invites you to discuss your retirement strategy and review your exposure to potential portfolio losses if stocks stumble. What alternatives to stocks and bonds might you consider adding to your investment mix? Schedule an appointment with your local Lucia Capital Group advisor now. The consultation and review of your current financial plan is free. Call 800-644-1150 to schedule an appointment. That's 800-644-1150. And learn more at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Safety. If you know me, you know how seriously I take it. I live, eat, and breathe safety. In fact, safety is my middle name. I went to the DMV and changed it last week. First name, Mr., middle name, Safety, last name, ! When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They've got over 100,000 safety products. Grainger helps keep our facility safe and our people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We got another hour coming up in the program, so we hope you can join us. Stay tuned for a whole lot more. We got a bunch of emails to get to, and we do have room on the phones right now. So give us a call. Ask your money questions, your comments, whatever it is. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We're going to start next hour off with at least a couple of emails. So if you want to get those emails in, you can do so now at our website, wealthed.com. Here's one, sort of a long one, from Veronica in Douglasville, Georgia. And she ends it by saying, hope this is not overkill on my question. Thanks. I don't think it is, but let me see what information we've got on this, Professor Plum. Veronica says, I'm 56 years old, self-employed IT consultant, the sole employee of an S-Corp. I plan to set up a DB, a defined benefit cash balance plan, in 2016 and contribute at least $50,000 a year for 5 years. What are the best qualifying plan assets to invest the $50,000? Now, do you want some more information?
Well, we're talking about, yeah, I'm going to need more information, but a lot of times when we're dealing with defined benefit plans, straight defined benefit plans, the best assets are not the highest growth assets, because we're trying to stay within a certain range of return so that our contribution stays relatively level. So we're not looking for the super grow stuff, and we're not looking for the super safe stuff. We're looking for things kind of a moderate growth in the middle on a defined benefit plan. Defined benefit cash balance plans, however, are a little bit different. They don't have the same types of restrictions. So this is going to be more of, what is the rest of the portfolio look like, and what are we short on? What are we, do we, should we be looking at certain types of investments to fill out the investment portfolio compared to what you already have? But within the confines of this area, most likely we're going to look for assets that create large amounts, if possible, ordinary taxable income, like when we were talking about before. The only problem with a real estate investment trust in this particular area is you said it was only for 5 years.
Yep.
And at the end of 5 years, you're going to want to terminate the plan, most likely. Now, that's not necessarily a problem, because you can usually just re-register whatever it is in the defined benefit trust into an IRA. So you can look at it that way, but we're going to look at typically assets that create high amounts of ordinary income and have a little bit more of the stable type of growth rather than exponential growth.
Are you talking about inside a defined benefit plan?
And even with the cash balance to some degree.
Because, and this is, why is that?
Just the way they calculate the contribution. I mean, it's more complicated than what I'm going to hear, but defined benefits have a very specific, and if you lose money in 1 year, the next year you're basically going to have to make up that money with the contribution.
Yeah.
Or if you start off and you do very, very well, then the next year you won't be able to contribute as much, and a lot of people do defined benefit plans to save on taxes as much as save, you know, and if I can't save on taxes, they don't like that. So they like to see the very, you know, systematic growth in a defined benefit plan. Cash balance plans are a form of defined benefit, so they have some of the same attributes, but they also look a little bit more like a 401k in some respects, in that the ultimate benefit isn't as tightly defined as a defined benefit. It's a strange area.
All right.
But we're looking for something most likely. The thing is, you're doing dollar cost averaging, so we want the more volatile assets. So how big is the rest of your portfolio? How does this money fit in with everything else?
She says, I already maxed out $24,000 of a 401k. Company match, 25%. She maxes $6,500 of a Roth, $7,700 a health savings account. I only pay myself a $50,000 salary.
Well, she's got an S-Corp.
No, I know, but a lot of this, okay. Anyway, the cash balance plan, the company match 401k will be limited to 3% match. She wants to know, is a surety bond required? And if so, what's the best place to purchase it? We haven't talked about those for a long time.
And I don't know if one's required. You obviously are putting together a plan with some attorneys and some help, and they should know right off the top of their head whether you and your state need a surety bond for what's going on. You're a solo practitioner. I don't know that you're going to need one.
All right, 877 Planner. She has more. I want to take a couple of calls here, at least one before the top of the hour, but I can maybe continue this question into another hour. All right, but I do want to get to, let Steve hang up. Steve hung up, so give us a call back. Steve, let's go to next. Jonathan, okay, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's Nevada, but that's fine. So I'm 23 right now, college student, just doing summer sales right now. And I did my budget and everything to last me till next May, and I've got about $1,000 to spend. Now I'm just deciding whether to like go on a fun trip or buy like the new iPhone or invest it. If I did invest it, how would I go about doing that, or like how could I do it to grow my money?
Well, I'm not gonna make your decision for you whether you should go on a super cool trip or not.
I want some more.
If you were to invest it, if you did decide that I want to put this aside for the future, I would look at, you are working, you've made at least $1,000 this year, right?
Right.
I'd put it into a Roth IRA, and now I'd have to decide how long do I want to let it sit there. Because it's a Roth IRA, I want to let it sit there for at least 5 years, because then I could use it after 5 years for my first-time home purchase, unless you already own a home. And so there are, given that, I'd probably want to try to get it to grow. So I might look at some type of a growth investment, hoping that I have better than 5 years and I'm going to add to it over time. So I'm going to look for a growth mutual fund investment in the Roth IRA. That's where I would look.
Okay. So that'd be like a 5 year, do they do that by years? Or
no, you put $1,000 into a Roth IRA this year. Hopefully you can do it again next year. Keep doing it again and put $5,000 in 1 year and keep building it up. And then as long as it's been 5 years, so basically once we get to 2021, when you get to 2021, you can pull out all of the money you've contributed to it and an additional up to $10,000 of earnings. And all of that will be tax-free to help you buy your first home, if you wait that long to buy your home. Now, if you've already bought your own home, or if you're looking to buy a home in the next couple years, this isn't going to help at all. But if it's 5 years or more between now and when you buy your home, whatever you've earned on this particular account can help pay for that down payment and be tax-free.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Jonathan, thank you for the call.
I like tax-free.
Well, tax-free, I was going to say, tax-free is always better than I would. It's one of those few things where I would say it's always better. I always prefer tax-free.
Well, given the fact that if I had to pay tax on something and now I don't have to pay tax on the same rate of return that I was getting before, yeah, tax-free is wonderful.
That's right. And you weren't going to give advice on the rest of it.
There's something to be said about, while you're young and...
I was thinking the same thing.
Taking a real cool trip someplace.
I had a couple of ideas.
The iPhone I'm not too worried about, but the... But that cool trip, I mean, we could, you know, memories, come on, man.
That's right. This is what we do. Okay, we're out of time. If you need the brain trust off the air, you can talk to Professor Rick Palm or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You should talk to them. 800-644-1150. Make an appointment. Tell them what you have. They'll set you straight on the right path to retirement. Got another hour just ahead. Stick around. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.